afternoon, and it's good to be back after all the Christmas and New Year's breaks and all that. Bet you're happy that it wasn't music again for the third week in a row. Although, thanks, Bob, for all the music.
Well, there will be music, just not as much of it.
Yeah, just not 2 hours of it. So today we've got a couple different things. We have our guest with us. I don't know, do we have him yet, Bruce Moran?
No. But we don't have Bill either.
Okay, well, we're not going to... Bill's out trying to park the truck, so we're not going to actually wait for Bill. We're going to call Bruce and get cracking.
This could take hours.
We only have Bruce for a little bit. And we've had him on before. I'd like to tell you when. I guess that was September the 18th, and I will move that link onto the webpage, which is wethepeopleradio.us. You can find all our contact information and a ton of archives. You got years and years of archives, and thanks to Robert Exter, we have them all commercial-free, which is super. And he splits them the first hour, second hour, so that's kind of helpful. If we have two different people and you just want the second hour, you don't have to... jockey through that whole thing and download some big giant file. So anyway, we make that easy for you. And so today we decided to cut into what we were going to do with Jim Lee just for like the first, half hour or so, because our friend Bruce Moran from Security Solutions Technology is going to come on with us and tell us what's going on in the land of national security, which has been obviously tons of stuff, unless you've been living under a rock. And, so we thought we'd get him on here. Bill's done parking the truck wherever you've managed to stash it. I don't know what the deal was this morning. There were a lot of people out on the road. Come in.
As the rain just brings them out. I don't know what it is.
I thought everybody would stay home. It's pouring. Anyway, we'll introduce everybody afterwards. But let's get Bruce on here so that he can get back to work, because I know he has a full schedule. Mr. Moran, what do you have for us today?
Well, there's several things we can talk about. I think what we see recently in the news is Kellyanne Conway and Donald Trump talking about the national security issues that are reflected in cybersecurity reports by the intelligence community.
Yeah, and, so it's like, did the Russians do it or didn't the Russians do it?
That's interesting. I mean... the Russians are always a major player,
sure,
and so are the Chinese, and there's also a special group out of Ukraine, and there are teams working out of each of these countries, so you have a lot of variables thrown into the pot. I think we need to go back to the initial problem that existed with the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton. She had an unsecured server, and that allowed for innumerable ways of risk and exposure to the State Department at the time. And my concerns are purely national security. What happened to who, what, when, where, and to what extent that we're going to address who was exposed. We're talking about people overseas that work for the State Department. Okay. And that's the people in the embassies. There are people who are working through other government agencies, and those are covert operations, and those are also SOG groups, special operation groups. They have families overseas, some of them, and they can be compromised, blackmailed, or killed. So John McCain was talking about that also in the last couple of days, about the Russians getting involved, and so was Lindsey Graham, about the exposure. And I think... these are valid statements, but how we go about drawing the final conclusions with the group of intelligence people in the community has to be looked at what they're actually seeing and what they're actually doing. So what does this all mean? Let's get back to the source. There was an unsecured server Hillary Clinton was using when she was Secretary of State, so there was exposure. Once somebody came in to the server, they could migrate or morph into the system, and that could affect other people at the State Department. At the time, I think there were 68,000 people that worked for the State Department. Like I said, they're overseas and both at home and abroad. But to me, that wasn't the most important thing. I wanted to know what actually happened, who did it, to what extent, and, did they actually go back to the source, to the agencies that gave her the information that were classified, top secret, secret. Those are the key issues. go back to the source agencies, and they're also responsible for giving information and knowing where it's at. It also ended up on Anthony Weiner's server, Huma's husband. So these are things that are not being discussed now because the election's over, but, I mean, she was, you can say, negligent or grossly negligent in not protecting the State Department itself as the head of the State Department.
And the one thing that seems to be, I don't know if they take it for granted because it's already been discussed, but the thing that kind of gets glossed over for the folks that don't really understand, you know, how servers work and all that sort of thing, you know, they just, you know, a lot of people don't understand the technology. They might use it, but they don't understand what's going on in the background. Everything that was, quote, leaked was actually factual.
Yes.
I mean, they actually made all those comments. It wasn't like somebody manufactured data, because that's what they want to make it sound like somebody, you know, made derogatory things and then put it out there.
And making false claims.
Right.
They didn't make any false claims.
But all this stuff was real. They actually did write back and forth to each other nasty things about Catholics and Jews and each other and,
getting
Bernie Sanders.
And Bernie Sanders, yeah.
With Podesta. So when you're implicating yourself, they're throwing a veil over what actually happened and taking it to another area where it's true, you know, the Russians and the Chinese are big players in cybersecurity, and they do infiltrate. I mean, that's normal. We infiltrate them, too.
But when we don't use any security on things that should have the highest security, we're not doing ourselves any favors.
No.
So they basically just exposed what the mainstream media didn't really want to talk about.
That's right. But I can talk about a little bit more here because that's what we deal with. In our article, How to Handcuff a National Security Investigation with Chuck Floyd and myself, at the end of the article, if people want to look at it, that's what's really the case and issue here. What was available, what they didn't choose to do, and how people in various government agencies and departments can be infiltrated and sabotaged and blackmailed and killed. That's what's at the end of that article. I think it's good for people to go back. It's a Forbes article, and it was printed on 9/16. So that goes into greater detail, and that's not being discussed. So what do I mean by that? Well, during her tenure as Secretary of State, there are certain security protocols you follow, and that's aside from her having a server, you know what I mean? Because she was Secretary of State, President Obama issued a couple executive orders for all the cabinet members to follow because there were security breaches and different things that need to be taken under consideration, how to check, cross-check, and counter-check yourself and your team, which would mean Huma and Cheryl Mills and that whole group of them, to make sure that you're, and now Podesta, to make sure you're secure. Well, that includes all your devices. All your devices are vulnerable today. And what does that mean? We call it endpoint, but that means your telephone. Anybody that's talking on a telephone, you have it secured. And especially if you're working for a, you know, Secretary of State. Everybody's mouse that's Wi-Fi connected is vulnerable because they can come in through the mouse. They can come in through the printer. They can come in through the HVAC system. They can come in through your tablet if it's connected to the internet.
Wow.
So now you're vulnerable. And at that time, and all these things were in question. So what we're talking about today was were those programs to protect those people in the House, in the Congress, you know, in some say in the State Department, anywhere, and it's serving in the intelligence community in the Senate, you know, those people should, you know, go to the SCIF, take no electronic devices, and get it done correctly, you know.
And explain the SCIF for people who don't know that?
That's a secure place that has a person in there who makes sure that anybody coming into the SCIF It's a secured area. It's a highly secured area. When we talk about highly, it's highly secured. I mean, that's the way it is. And you can't bring anything in there, and you can't take anything out. You can't write anything that you... So if those areas of top secret were part of what was disclosed about Hillary Clinton, and, you know, in certain classified information, maybe secret, could be top secret, and Anthony Weiner's computer, then this is... You don't know what's going on. Innumerable risk I'm talking about. That's what's compounding to me.
Did they find anything on his computer? Apparently, I mean...
There's classified information, yeah.
And so why aren't they pursuing anything on that?
It's over and done with, probably. You know, it's not... It actually was disclosed, some of it, after.
After the fact. Do you think they'll ever get... Do you think they'll ever go back to that and say, hey, look, crime was committed, or...
I don't know if that's so important now that we have new information I'm going to tell you about that's even more distressing than that. I didn't go to there yet.
Oh, okay.
I had sent Aaron some information on the Chinese.
Yeah, we need to take a really quick break, and then I want to come back on the Chinese, and we'll
that's a good topic to talk about.
Yeah, let's not interrupt that one, because that one looks like something we haven't been beaten over the head with for months.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get folks that information here in just a couple of minutes. You are listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Security, but I've been in the wrong place, but it must have been the right time. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong song. I've been in the right place.
The Anthony Weiner computer song. Welcome back. You're rejoining We the People. And now that everybody's here, we can tell you who we are.
I had a hard time getting into the studio.
I know you did. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
So now you have names to go with the voices.
That's right.
I was going to say the faces, but that was incorrect. So easy to get those confused. And we have faces for radio, so I guess
that's right.
I guess
I've
that
always
does
been told that.
That kind of applies.
We have some new sponsors this year we're kind of excited about. I know Powerhouse Solar came on board. They're going to be one of our new sponsors. And I got some more in the wings that we'll announce probably next week.
Bill's been a busy bee.
Yeah, we're trying to get...
In between getting sick like every other week.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got a sore throat again.
Making America sick again.
God, no lie.
Man.
Yeah, do you have anything for that, Bruce? You have a... Is it the Chinese? Can we blame them for this? Because really somebody needs to be blamed.
Well, there's quite a few things we can talk about. Mm. And since John McCain and Lindsey Graham sit on the Armed Services Committee...
Right.
Last year, we had a huge amount of hacking going on with the Chinese community. And if we just look at the Boeing case itself, they had data on the F-35 and F-22 fighter jets. I mean, they hacked into it. They caught one. They prosecuted one, but two are still at large. And you don't know if the two are with other groups or sets of people that are continually hacking the United States government and our corporations for military information. So I think at such time, the Chinese also hacked into the Office of Personnel Management. And there were some 48 million, I'll look it up, four million and 100,000 security clearances of people that were exposed. Now, if President Obama was looking at this as the same impact as he's looking at the Russians for telling us what we already knew, then I think maybe some kind of direction by John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and the Obama administration would be taken against the Chinese diplomats.
Yeah, because
pretty obvious.
The Office of Personnel Management hack was like over a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous for them to, you know, especially Obama, to jump on the train now when he's known this has been going on for a long time. And I really kind of believe that the reason he didn't was he was waiting to see if it was going to help their side, and if it did, they were just going to shut up about it. I could be wrong. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, the data breach was
the only one you get.
It goes beyond. It was 4 million people, but they also had people with security clearances, so they can identify them, their social security numbers.
Yeah.
So if they're out in the field doing operations, and they're saying this kind of exposure exists with the Russians, but the Russians were actually saying the truth, these people are actually taking information, they got people's background information, they know who they are, and this is, to me, a case where it could be made for the same thing that Obama's done with the Russians. For a far more ominous threat, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the kind of thing I look at when I'm looking at a pure national security play. If you're going to take a stance, then you have to come across the board and make a stance. How much time do we have? Then I'll talk about something that's rather new.
Shoot for it. You've got time.
Okay, I can talk then? Okay. what's not really known to the public is the current hacking capability, and this happened in June of 2015, and it's called the group of people who are able to, it's called HT, a hacking team, but that's kind of their general term, but they use remote control systems, and their manual and their source code was disclosed to the general public, you can say.
Now, these are folks from our side?
No.
The Russians?
No. This was a nation-state player's source code and manual distributed worldwide.
Oh, nice.
So, you know what that means, right?
Enlighten me.
Well, everybody's got it?
No.
Surprise.
So somebody living in your basement and you don't know about it.
Wow.
All of a sudden you come up, grab some breakfast. Geez, part of my meatloaf is missing last night. Where'd that go?
I had a roommate like that. in a dormitory, yeah, we had all our food locked in tackle boxes in the refrigerator because when you woke up in the morning, it's like, who is doing this?
Yep.
It was long before we had, you know, spy cameras and stuff, but yeah, we needed it. I've been there.
So how do they catch them? Do they leave like breadcrumbs that identify them as particular people?
Well, if they're using this method, that's what I'm saying. They're living in your basement.
They look like you.
The rest of the house secured. And the
right.
basement is enclosed.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go to the washroom and you say, gee, I thought I had a towel up there. It's all lying on the ground over here. You go, geez, Louise, how did I do that? Or you can go up to your apartment, you know, you will see nothing's missing. And here's the second part of that. Okay.
That's creepy.
What if you see a robbery happening? And it's in a Ferrari. What are you going to think? These guys got a quick getaway car.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Sure.
Okay. What else do you think? Do you think they're Italian? Because it's a Ferrari?
Well, I guess I wouldn't have thought of that, but now that you brought it up.
Well, that's what they could be pinning it on the Russians.
Sure, sure.
What the hacking code gives you the availability to mimic the Russians' hacking capability.
Right. And, you know, that's really what I... If
so,
these guys
so you're
are smart
like a,
enough
you're
to
like
get
a
in
cloak
there,
hacker.
Yeah, but if they're smart enough to get in there, I mean, if they're really...
Oh, no. Let me explain to you. They go onto your motherboard, you know, where you type on, and they can mimic you. So
right.
they memorize everything you do as that person. And then they come in as you. That's what I'm saying. That's why you're calling an Italian in a Ferrari. So they're mimicking the Russians doing that, or they're mimicking the Chinese doing it, or the Chinese are mimicking the Russians, blaming the Russians.
Right. So how do you really know?
You know.
That's kind of my
you
point.
Don't.
They're not gonna just run in there and leave all kinds of breadcrumbs behind and say, hey, look what I did. They're gonna leave crumbs behind and say, hey, look what he's doing. And you know.
What if it was somebody looking to have an even playing field in the general elections? What do I mean by that? I don't know if you remember this group called Anonymous. They're pretty famous two or three years ago. They're a very sophisticated freelance hacking group. What if it was Anonymous that did that and gave the information to the Russians, or just leaked it and then WikiLeaks got it?
Mm-hmm. It made it look like the Russians.
Yep.
Well, that's what Assange is claiming.
What if it was a Bernie Sanders voter backer or staffer who was a computer expert that decided to give up some information because they were felt disenfranchised?
Mm-hmm. And he's a Bernie Sanders supporter, so he would have done it for free.
I mean, is this something that I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that are capable of pulling this off, or is this like a pretty elite
once
group?
It happened in, let's say, July of 15, you had thousands of people at that time had capabilities.
Hmm.
Now, you say thousands, well, 1,000 could be a person head of a team of hackers,
sure,
like Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to bring Anonymous into this. They may or may not be involved. It could be a nation-state government, okay? What happened was once the source code and manual's out there, anybody and anything has access to it.
Sure.
So what my concern is, like organizations like the DEA, the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the FBI, the CIA, Department of Defense, their people and their positions could have been hacked, and we wouldn't know about it because they're in the basement or they're driving in a Ferrari telling everybody they're Italians.
Right.
So that's why I want to give you two examples. Now you can draw the basement example as one and now the Ferrari, because that's pretty self-evident. You're in that Ferrari, you got a quick getaway, and you're leaving behind, like you were saying earlier, crumbs. But it goes to another dimension. It could be quantum. I might have mentioned this last time. If you have quantum capability in the encryption, if somebody touches you on the shoulder, you look that way, they've already come in and out of your system. And then if they had this capability of using the code and the source code and the manual, then you don't know what's going on. In other words, their computer systems are quicker and faster. It's like running a 100-yard dash, okay, you take off, and you're at the 50-yard line. They've already been in the end zone.
Right.
And they've come back, touched you on the shoulder, scored, you know, took something out of your system, or implanted something, malware, and they're there, disguised, and extrapolating information from you.
So when you hear the government agencies say, oh, we thwarted, thousands of hacks and, you know, a few of them got through, but they probably don't really know how many got through.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
That's true, too. The idea of cybersecurity is very, very sophisticated these days. And the average person on Twitter, Facebook, they're giving up a lot of information. But all that information they have on you can be, you know, extrapolated, put into a computer, and then analyzed and act like you, then if you're part of a senator's family, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, a congressman's family. Then they get in, they migrate in, and then they find out, you know, and then if they have the, like we're talking about earlier, the source code and the manual, they have all these things at their fingertips. Now, this just isn't one hacker. It could be five hackers working in tandem with each other. And they all come in together and put on many disguises.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're following them through the source code, they may misdirect you to Russia or misdirect you to China, while the other people are infiltrating and mimicking other people within the State Department or within the Defense Department, or that's what I'm talking about.
So is there anything developed that will prevent these guys from hacking our systems, or is that just because we're all playing with the same cards?
Yes,
we're all,
no.
You know,
yeah.
We're all going to get.
We have to go back to original source code, right, and stop it at the root. You got to get them out of the basement.
Right.
Once you get them out of the basement, then that means it's like everything and cleaning it up. There's names for it, but I don't want to go into what to do, okay? And then if they're if you're communicating, you have communication problems, then you have to have better encryption. So it's more sophisticated encryption across the board, all the U.S. departments and agencies across the board, and they have to be uniform and followed.
But does the encryption really help? I mean, if they're mm-hmm. be able to hack in behind the encryption.
Well, yeah, but if you get them out of the basement, you have to do both. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Do you think this new administration is going to be slightly more
Mike Flynn?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe they're going to be any worse than the guys for the last 8 years. I would imagine these guys are going to actually get something done.
Yeah, my concern is specifically about our corporations, our banking industry, how they can be hacked, you know, and a lot of the information they're using is going into, let's say, the Department of Commerce. So the Department of Commerce does what? Protects our patent rights. It protects our copyrights. So if that's what happened to Boeing, they got the plans to, you know, the fighter jets and to the transport. So if Boeing's transmitting that information into the government, you know, for their copyright and patent right, and that's being intercepted, that means another country, especially China, would want that to build the airplanes and to construct them in the same manner, you know. And that's... we call that dual purpose sometimes, technology.
And I've linked those articles that you sent.
Oh, okay.
Really, they're a whole... I actually created a secondary webpage for today that people can go in and click on all that, because there's a lot of information there.
But I wanted to... I only had a half hour, and I want to make sure people understand the magnitude of the problem. It's across the board, intelligence and military, you know, agencies and State Department and, you know, agriculture, commerce, the exchanges that are trading, the defense contractors, they're all concerned. You know, they have, you know, Raytheon and Boeing. We talk about Boeing. I'm really concerned about Boeing now. So,
what about...
These were... People have their jobs.
Sure.
The technology gets stolen and transferred. You lose your jobs.
Then it's gone.
There was a story here not too long ago about, it might have been in Virginia, where the power grid was hacked. Is that part of this? Is that a big threat?
That turned out to be a fake story.
How hard would it be for them to hack our power grid and really shut major...
This is how you go into the basement and make sure they're not there and improve your encryption.
Are we that vulnerable with our power grid?
I would say yes.
That's scary.
But you could protect certain sections of it because you can shut parts of it down. But it depends how it's infiltrated and to what degree. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Right.
Sure.
Yeah, I can't make the. I don't want to cause alarm. It's just a matter of. You got departments and agencies that will, you know, go in there and, you know, the Nuclear Regulatory Agency, and, you know, they have their own security at their place and stuff like that. But they shift the power, as you know, when you're having a power coming into San Diego and they're losing enough power to help all the people because now everybody's on computers. Everybody's using cell phones. Everybody's using more electric. So, if the power goes down, they shift to another grid. They shift power over there, you know, from another group of people that have a power plant.
So, well, I would think that as dependent as we are on the grid, that would be a pretty high priority to.
That's right. They're going to make it a priority in the administration.
Good.
That's the bottom line.
I don't want to talk about it. Yep. Yeah, no problem. Well, when you can and when we know more and all that, we'd love to have you back on and give us another update.
Yeah, those are very important questions. They're hard to answer because they're complicated. They're not very simple. And I was trying to explain to you our basement problem and our, you know, Ferrari problem. And
sure.
Yeah.
That's all new. And that's only within the last year and a half maybe. And once it's out there, it's a lot of exposure and a lot of danger. So,
right. Well, gosh, we sure appreciate you coming on, and that we do want to have you back once we get once the new administration gets in there and up and running, let's talk again. And
yeah, you know what's new, so you have to have to call us.
God bless you. Happy New Year to everybody out there. God bless and protect our country and keep it safe and secure.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. That's been Bruce Moran, National Security Advisor with Security Solutions Technology, just in case I didn't announce that in the middle of the interview there, so you know who you were listening to. Thank you very much, Bruce. We'll be taking a quick break here, and we're going to come back with Jim Lee. And kind of shifting gears a little bit, but I think you'll like it. Actually, lots of technology in the second half, too.
Yeah, yeah. We're techie. I mean, we're like Kim Commando around here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
In the basement. you're listening to We the People.
I'm more like in the attic.
we'll figure out where Bill is.
I'm actually in the garage.
All right, Waldo. Kind of too much Manfred Mann in your band, huh?
Manfred Mann. Yeah, that's going back a little bit.
Sure, make me choke. All righty. So, first part, a little national security. Second part, we're going to talk about, we're going to join up with our guest, Jim Lee. And, you know, every time we schedule him, something screwy happens at the first part of the show. Last time we had a little scheduling issue and we needed some fill we didn't have. Today we had fill we didn't need, so I don't know. How do you do it? You know? It's just craziness.
Well, it's the NSA. So, I think they're one of our big fans.
They're listening in and they're helping us. Helping.
They're from the government, you know, and they're here to help.
So we have Jim on Skype, so I think our quality of call will be much better. Hiya, Jim. Oh.
Oh.
Jim's in the cone.
Hang on.
Jim's in the cone of silence.
He can't hear you.
He can't hear us,
he can't talk to us.
Oh, there we go.
Is that better?
Jim, are you there? Hello, Jim.
Well, apparently the much better connection that we're going to have.
Can you guys hear me?
Hey,
yes.
There you are. Sounds
just
like you're
magic.
I was just gonna, saying how
right next to me.
Yeah, how much better the connection is, and it's like dead silence. Oh, it's a lot better.
That's how much you
it's
know.
Really super quiet.
Oh, sounds great.
Okay, so we talked about some of this stuff when you were on before the Christmas, New Year's insanity all hit. But I don't know where we want to start today. We've got a lot of stuff posted. I really do hope people go to the website because I've listed all of yours on there. So our site is wethepeopleradio.us. And when you go on there, you will be able to find the site that came on after we spoke to Jim last time. It actually came up live. It's weathermodificationhistory.com, and it is very awesome.
Thank you.
So there's
my
commercial.
I'm pretty stoked about that. That was my Christmas present to the internet. I released the first version of weathermodificationhistory.com on December 25th, and it's still a work in progress. I'm getting ready to update it after the show. And I made some serious progress, but the long story short of it is I started building a geoengineering timeline probably about 3 years ago, and at the time I had three separate timelines. So I had one for chemtrails, one for HAARP, and then one for weather modification and geoengineering. And I was like, why wouldn't I combine them all together? Because I kept seeing that there were certain entries that were in all three timelines. You know what I mean? They had to do with each other. And eventually I was like, well, let's try to do that. And it turns out that I went through every single open source timeline software there was, and none of them could hold that many entries without blowing up my mobile phone or my computer. So I was like, I guess I got to write my own. And, you know, 3 years ago, I started learning how to program websites, write HTML code and JavaScript. And I feel like a freaking digital wizard when I sit down now, because it's like, you know, it's like a dream to be able to have an idea and then create it and see it come to life and click on it and it moves. It's like a robot. It's like building a robot.
And everybody else can look, and everybody else can actually see it, unlike the websites we build.
I think they call that being a nerd, but, you know, I don't want to call names.
I'm so white and nerdy. It's so true. I have the epitome of nerd. Like, my daughter, she's 7 years old, and she's like, Daddy, I think I'm a nerd. And I'm like, you say that like that's a bad thing.
Yeah, but she can shoot a bow and arrow, so, you know, she's at least a defensible nerd.
Oh, yeah. So I bought my daughter a bow and arrow for the first time this Christmas, and we went out in the yard, and I got her a little compound bow, and she had all of her cousins over, and they're you know.
And then she said, run.
No, yeah, there's three like boys. They're 3, 5, and 7, and she's 7. And they all were so excited to shoot the bow. They all get out there. Nobody could pull it back, including a friend, another boy that was a friend. None of them could pull it back, and Caroline gets up there and pulls it back. And I'm just, like, overjoyed.
Oh, that's cool.
And she misses the first shot, and then she nails a target on the second shot. Proudest daddy ever.
No kidding.
That's pretty fun.
It was so epic. I was a Boy Scout, and we have Native American in us, Apache Choctaw, and the bow just came naturally when I was a child. And, you know, to see my daughter has that in her, it just reaffirms everything I believe about DNA memory and how your ancestors are still alive in you, and it's just epic. So epic.
My ancestors were all Vikings, so you better and Bill did buy me a hatchet 1 year. That's probably not good.
Yeah, no.
Not good for Bill.
I hide that. I know where it is at all times.
So,
if she starts to pillage, you better run. Yeah.
Exactly. If I get the itch to pillage. I just looked at the clock. Do we have to take a break, Bob?
Yes, we do.
Just looked at the clock. I'm like, oh, dang it. Okay, so when we come back, I need you to talk to us about all the things that are weather modification. You know, we need to get into what's real and what's been overblown.
Well, I saw a CIA director giving a big speech about weather modification and aerosol spraying, and gosh, everybody went nuts. See, they're doing it.
So, but it's like, what are they doing and what are they not doing? So we're gonna talk about that with Jim, because he has diligently researched it and can actually back up what he says, which is awesome.
Woohoo! let's do it. I hope that people will be calling in and taking notes and challenge us at the end, because you got an expert on the line.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Phone number here is 530-605-4567.
Snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
Bob's busting out all the weather songs. Nice. All right, Mr. Lee, Got about 8 minutes till the top of the hour when the news cuts us off for a brief other break. What are you going to talk to us about today?
So I guess we're going to talk about fear porn and and how it associated with the weather control activist / entertainer community. You know, this is a topic that I research pretty diligently. I nerd out on it also. And you can check out all my research at climateviewer.com/geoengineering, climateviewer.org, where I have a 3D map where I map out these programs and instruments that can be used to manipulate the atmosphere, and weathermodificationhistory.com, where you can see references, patents, experiments, a lot of the same material from climateviewer.com/geoengineering, but much prettier, and a timeline that you can sort through that is categorized, that goes from 1800 to present, that has categories like cloud seeding, geoengineering, space weather manipulation, and pluviculture. So we'll start there. Most people never heard the term pluviculture. It's a term that generally relates to rainmaking. Pluviculture is the period from 1800 to 1946, where people tried all kinds of manners of, you know, implementations, explosives, balloons, fires, you know, all burning forests was one of the very first ones. James Pollard Epsy, who's called the Storm King, he was a weather guy, actually made one of the first weather maps in America that was used by the military. And he suggested burning massive amounts of forests on the West Coast in order to seed the clouds to make rain on the East Coast. And that was back in 1839. So,
wow.
You know, that's where the timeline, I start the timeline there. I could go way back and talk about the Chinese and gunpowder and how at Antietam, you know, the gunpowder, the black powder from the Civil War made it rain after many battles. How the Indians, you know, the Native Americans, my peoples, would use rhythmic tones and the stomping of feet that would put so much sand and particles in the air that it could make it rain. You know, I try to keep it, you know, kind of concise. So I cut it off at 1800 because that's when we kind of hit the sciencey attempts at manipulating the weather, not just, you know, long-term practices. And you get where I'm going with that. So sure. Anyway, the pluviculture period goes from, you know, 1800 to 1946. And in 1946, Vincent Schaefer, Irving Langmuir, and Bernard Vonnegut, GE scientists, or General Electric scientists, basically invented cloud seeding then. And, you know, really what happened was Vincent Schaefer breathed in a freezer and they were like, ooh, you just made a cloud. And the other was like, see? And Langmuir was like, see? I told you so, Vince. You cannot make this stuff up.
Early I told you so's in science.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like Langmuir had talked about it for a long time. Bernard Vonnegut's brother's Kurt Vonnegut, the writer, and he talks about, you know, electrifying aerosols and stuff, man. He's out there, bro. But Langmuir really conceptualized it all, and Schaefer, you know, actually came up with an observational experiment where they could prove blah, blah, blah. So less than a year later, they went out and seeded a tropical storm, which just goes to show you how crazy these people are. You know, we invent cloud seeding in 1946. 1947, they go out and they seed with Project Cirrus. They get the military and the, you know, involved immediately. And General Electric and the military go out and spray a tropical storm, which changes color and direction, and then slams into Georgia, killing a guy and doing like $3 million in damage.
Oops.
Well, that worked.
Yeah.
That worked
out really well. And that was called the Cape Sable Hurricane, for those who want to Google it. But there's a lot of speculation after the fact. They say, oh, well, it was atmosphere, you know, ridge coming, and that's why it changed directions. It changed directions 120 degrees, changed color, and became a hurricane after you seeded it. 3 hours after they seeded it with, like, 200 pounds of something. My memory's failing me on that one little particular. But the notes are all on climateviewer.com. Just go to my geoengineering presentation that I gave at Ed Griffin's or G. Edward Griffin's conference, Global Warming and Inconvenient Truth, and you'll get an eyeful. It's on the sidebar of the site. So this is less than a year later. They had used the military to modify a storm that ended up killing somebody, and the technology was just invented. And less than 30 years later, and there's a lot that happened in between, but within 30 years, the military had actually used it as a weapon of war in Vietnam with Operation Popeye, Operation Motor Pool, Make Mud, Not War.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about that, and that's a real thing. It really did happen, and
yeah.
So
we're going to sort out what's now going forward. You know, what's real, what's not, and you know, is the earth dying? Are the trees all dying? Are we being sprayed like lab rats? Those are things that Jim can help us with, and
let's get it figured out.
Get some facts into the game. Anyway, we're chatting with Jim Lee. It's We the People Radio. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Hour two next here at KCNR, Shasta Redding.